I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Let's begin the show now. We're still getting jiggy with it, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Football Ramble Preview Show, sponsored by Bet365. My name is Marcus Speller. Luke Moore's here.
Hello.
Jim Campbell.
Hi.
And a man with a name too. It's Pete Donaldson.
I'll be the judge of that.
Ladies and gentlemen, good to have you here. Bloody good to have you here.
that was really cockney.
Before we start, Pete, I interrupted you in that conversation we had just before we came on air. Please continue.
No, I don't want to. But I would like to talk about is you playing football at Manchester United's ground, Old Trafford.
Old Trafford.
The theatre of dreams.
Yeah. Tell us a little story about Dennis Irwin.
Old Trafford.
Yeah. It was Dennis Irwin you played with was absolutely fantastic.
Dennis
still,
Irwin,
it?
Quentin Fortune and I. You know that Holy Trinity statue they've got outside the ground? Yeah. Was it Best and Charlton and
Law?
Yeah.
And Law,
yeah.
I tell you what.
Dennis Poor.
Why do we, Luke and Jim, you don't play a lot of football?
Nope.
Probably more than Luke. Why do we never get invited to these stadium games?
Because Marcus, we all have different skills.
A lot of people that I know going to St. James's Park to play.
We've all got different skills, and I've got more football ones.
Pete, do you want me to answer the question?
He's going to lie here, ladies and gentlemen, as he often does.
Marcus is a fine, upstanding young man.
Mm. Oh.
No, but he's also the best at being a corporate shill.
Blagger.
That genuinely isn't true. You and Pete are shocking.
Shocking.
Yeah.
Is that the time about 10 years ago when I got sent a load of expired Marks and Spencer's crisps and ate them, every last one of them?
Yeah. This is the first time I'm even hearing of this.
Right,
it shows you how deep this
is. Remember when I got diabetes for a few months?
There is a scale here. Luke and Pete, too far to one side, I feel.
Yeah.
I think I've got the centre ground quite nicely. Yeah. Jim, you're way off.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. In terms of what, sorry?
Okay. But the thing is, Jim's...
In terms of getting crisps, trips to Old Trafford...
Marcus, Jim's standing will improve and his star is on the rise because of an incredible performance in going for gold and going for Grinsell.
Yeah,
this
year. Good point, yeah.
So he's loads of free
stuff. If the corporates
are interested in that, then fine. But I can confirm that the food at Wings is very good.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Very nice.
Yeah. You had a lovely little... trip down Ramble Memory Lane.
How was the pint of wine?
If you get involved in social media, people, there's a little tribute to Big Sam in there from myself.
Yeah.
And a fine job I did too.
Yeah.
But enough of this nonsense. Let's talk about that Champions League final.
Oh,
it's on the horizon.
I'd say something.
But the way you said that is almost like it's happened. I think for a second I was like, have I missed it?
Yeah.
That's how quick Liverpool are.
Yeah.
They've already done the game.
On the break.
I can't believe it. They've lost 4-0. I haven't even turned up.
The Champions League final is a glorious thing, even if it's a dull affair. And it's the one game. And I think, actually, to be fair, Jim, at one Champions League final we were at, you said that really the World Cup final is almost the only game that's comparable to this in the sort of the prestige and all the rest of it. Yeah. It's the one game where I would almost say the whole world, certainly the whole continent, just stops and goes, let's all enjoy this together.
Yeah.
Okay. I know you've got the Clásico and one thing and another, but there's other football being played.
Mm. The atmosphere was like nothing else. And you guys have been to other Champions League finals as well. And a Champions League final is a unique atmosphere, isn't it? It's up the whole game, regardless of what's going on.
And with that magnificent Liverpool support, it's going to be raw.
An exciting occasion.
And in Kiev as well, a city that, Peter, you certainly know well.
I love a bit of Kiev. Mm-hmm. Did you see that, because obviously it's very expensive to get out there and a lot of Liverpool fans are obviously complaining that it's incredibly expensive and just the same for the Madrid fans as well. Did you see one enterprising young dentist or dental assistant was hiring out his dental studio, effectively.
Dentist chair.
Like with dentist chair.
Dental studio.
Yeah, like a dental studio.
What's a kip in?
Well, so people can sleep in.
Yeah, to have a sleep in, like an Airbnb sort of thing.
I admire the entrepreneurism.
It's nice, isn't it? It's good.
Yeah. I thought what you were going to say is that it's really expensive for all the fans to go.
Selling their gold teeth.
And Rajanangalan was on Instagram slagging them all off or something. Yeah. Like he did with those Juventus fans in Cardiff, you know, when they lost.
You have been in the media for too long. You would be spending a night in a police studio.
No, dental studio is dental for studio. Is does exist. It's for sort of what's
cosmetic
the word?
Work,
cosmetic
work.
Oh right,
yeah. It's not dental surgery. It's dental studio.
Correct. That's how he knows it. It's for cosmetic work.
Yeah.
Exactly.
These teeth don't lie, baby.
Yeah. Where did he get those pearly whites from? Yeah. Liverpool, they've been in Marbella preparing for this one.
Love that, lads.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
O'Grady's Irish Bar, probably. looking at the best Google review bars in Marbella. Palms Beach Bar, currently closed, but does great cocktails. And there's a cozy, casual vibe, apparently.
Cozy, casual vibe.
And if they get bored of that, Crystal's Karaoke, Puerto Banu. Nice.
Crystal's, eh?
Yeah. Don't want a full English, want a full Scouse.
Yes. Yes, please. Thank you very much. Could Klopp, knowing the sort of type of personality he is, could he realistically resist them just having a bit of an unwinder?
I think he would be a dab hand at the karaoke.
He was very insistent that it wasn't anything to do with team bonding.
That's right. He said we've already bonded, which by the looks of it on the pitch, you'd
completed
say that.
Completed that.
Well, Klopp, would you imagine, would be big on team spirit, as you know, most managers at the top level, apart from Jose Mourinho.
He was really upset about pre-gaming when he had a party recently. Well, it was probably earlier on this season. He was quite surprised that he didn't understand the idea of pre-gaming in English culture, where you go for drinks before you head to the main.
Because
it's cheaper.
But it was when the players were doing it. That was the problem.
Yeah. So he was basically waiting until like 10 o'clock at night because he invited everyone around to his house and nobody turned up till like 10 o'clock because they were all
pre-gaming.
In Spain
that'd be early. Germany's maybe a bit of a slightly different vibe, but a lot of the bars when I was in Munich recently did close fairly early.
Fair enough. Well, Klopp said it wasn't for the weather, because the weather has been good in England.
It has.
Yes. Strange that you can compare England and Marbella like that.
Do you think he's having a little dig at Spain itself?
Yeah, maybe he is. Trying to get it
in their head.
Mind game.
Well, he said it's to focus and concentrate their minds on their forces.
Yeah. The climate's not what it used to be.
But Liverpool will warm things up, no doubt, when they're focusing and concentrating their minds on their forces. But it's an interesting one. There's a bit of focus on Klopp, of course, the type of manager he is. Beaten finalists, Dortmund were under Klopp, of course, in 2013.
Yeah, I was at that game. It was at Wembley.
As was Pete and I.
Yeah, and I was in the Bayern end, and the atmosphere was, as Jim was just touched on earlier, the atmosphere was absolutely electric. Mm. It was incredible.
Yeah,
It was the best atmosphere I've ever seen at Wembley.
Yeah, no, I don't think that.
Apart from a certain FA Cup final in 2008.
Is that right?
I don't think it matters who the teams are either.
I don't know, that final when Monaco played in it.
Yeah.
That would have mattered.
I paid for my tickets. What?
So did I. I paid for mine, actually, Peter.
Yeah, okay.
But the point being, Marcus.
Carol.
The point being that...
mugs. Absolute mugs.
He's in a fruity mood today.
I am.
You started it.
I tweeted him earlier from the Ramble account, trying to get a bit of stuff going. He didn't reply. Turns up, fruity as hell.
I was busy.
Yeah.
You've been in the alcohol studio.
No, it's still a dental studio. He's drinking all the chemicals.
I was in the Bayern end, and it did definitely... add to the atmosphere that it was two Germans.
Yeah, of course.
There's something quite nice about making two German teams traipse all the way across to London. Yeah.
but what I mean, though, is that you know each set of fans is so delighted to be there. And we'll see this from the entitled braying of Madrid.
Well, I was about to say, I wonder, because they are very entitled. I understand why.
Yeah, but they're very vocally entitled, aren't
you? You know, like when Arsenal got dumped out of like the top four for the first time and all the fans are like, oh my God, this is dreadful. Like the time they don't reach a final in the Champions League, they're going to be like, oh God.
Yeah, I can't remember when this last happened.
Well, to be fair, there went a long period not getting to a final, even getting past, was it the second round 16, of the competition? Yeah. My goodness. Some were saying in that game in 2013 that Dortmund looked a little bit leggy, a little bit tired, and of course with Klopp's methods, you can see that happening. However, this time round, he seems to have learned from that. And the players, they look fresh, and he was giving his players a little bit more rest, and perhaps that's what Marbella was for, to take them out of their surroundings and give them a bit of a break. Obviously, they'll do a bit of training and whatnot, but to focus their minds.
Nick
and so
a few
on.
Taxis.
Exactly. Yeah. And there we are.
Well, last season, they I think it was January, wasn't it, where they had a disastrous spell, where it felt like they had blitzed themselves all season up until January, and they got dumped out of the FA Cup, and they didn't pick up a win. And
hard to get out of that.
But Klopp did seem to learn from that, and he was rotating quite a lot in the first half of this season. And given the sort of pace that they play at and how fast they are and how sort of physically demanding their type of football you would imagine is, they still seem pretty fresh. I mean, the Roma second leg game was a little bit odd.
It'd be strange to go into.
But that was a strange game anyway.
Because they're 5-2 up and it's like...
Yeah, don't know how to approach it sort of thing, yeah. And Liverpool, look, you can't really... In the terms of the Champions League this season, you can't really criticise Liverpool because they've scored so many goals and they've been so good. And as we've said before on this show and on the continent, that they've blitzed teams in that first leg to such an extent, despite what happened against Roma in the second leg, realistically, they're always going to go through. But Liverpool's game management is the area that you would probably say has the most room for improvement. So it'll be interesting to see on Saturday if they go maybe a goal up early mm-hmm. and it gets to about an hour and it's still 1-0 to them. Mm-hmm. What do they do? Because I think that's when Liverpool, I think, are their most vulnerable.
I think the game management is a fascinating thing for Klopp.
Yeah,
if they get it like they did in the first leg against Manchester City, their game management was superb. Blitz them 3-0 up at half time, and then like an impenetrable unit just sitting there. But I mean, to say, well, we'll just go 3-0 up against Madrid, lads.
Well, also that, especially with the history of Liverpool being on the reverse of that, you know, I mean, how much...
that's right. Well. If they're 3-0 up at half-time, exactly, they of all teams know.
That's the weirdest possible outcome, I think, at that point. I think it's worth noting that Spurs and Juventus have obviously beaten Madrid in this season's Champions League, both of them beaten 3-1. Spurs packed their midfield out, didn't they, and tried to sort of push them wide and then hit them on the break, and that was really effective as we saw. But Liverpool won't do that. They don't really have the team to do that, and Madrid are incredibly effective down the flank, so you wonder will Klopp sort of limit his own fullbacks in an attempt to deal with that and then sort of perhaps nullify their own game a little bit, or will he just go hell for leather and think, you know what,
bollocks.
We're going to impose our game on them.
As a neutral, I'd like to see him just go for it.
Same, absolutely,
because that's how it's got them there. But on the game management thing, just quickly, I know they can do it. I just don't think they do it often enough.
No, sure.
And for as good an example of that Man City game is, and you're right to point it out in terms of how good they were with game management there, the Roma game was almost like the opposite to that. It was very odd.
Sure. But I think, you know, Jim, there's a lot of talk about the flanks, as you say. Mm. And people saying that Real Madrid may target Alexander-Arnold. Obviously, Man City tried to do that and it didn't quite happen, although Roma...
They were so one-dimensional in that game, weren't they?
They just kept putting it over and over
again.
But then Roma, El Shaarawy, got a bit of joy against him. And then people saying, oh, well, can Liverpool get in behind Marcelo, who likes to charge up and down?
Marcelo and Salah is going to be an interesting battle.
Well, it will. And John,
I got absolutely bollocked by James Horncastle yesterday for suggesting that.
What's that suggesting?
Why so? Saying that they could find some space in behind Marcelo. He was like, whoa, hang on a minute. All right.
Great, quite a Klopp, didn't he? Yeah.
Yeah, all right, you European football beard.
Well, you don't have to do the show with him, mate.
I do have to.
Stay with the lads, yeah?
All right, sorry.
If you're the smartest person in the room, you're in the wrong room, dickhead.
I'm slamming it, yeah.
Jonathan Wilson wrote this week in his tactical piece on the game that what does Klopp do with Salah? Does he kind of keep him up there to give Madrid something to think about all the time, or does he kind of come back and help out the fullback?
I think that's an easy question to answer, because if you see what they did with Salah against Roma, where they did that, it was completely ineffective. What they need to do, if they are going to play in that
role, Salah needs to do his doggies.
No, I think Firmino needs to play in that role.
What, on the right?
No, up there.
Okay,
almost like as a target if they need it, and then just get Salah on the ball as much as possible. Just keep giving.
Yeah, but that
him
doesn't
the
answer the question. Do you leave Salah up right on?
I wasn't listening to the question. What's the question?
Oh, Gordon Bennett. Do you put him right up there so he's almost cheating? So where the left back would traditionally be a defensive left back, or does he have to come back and help out the full back? In other words, is he always up there?
I was answering a different question.
You were?
Yeah, sorry about that. I don't know the answer to that.
Anyone fancy fielding that one? So it is, it's interesting.
I think Pele's a good player.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's getting on a bit now, though.
Abidi Pele is a fine player.
He's not had the pace. He's a bit like Marcus. He's not got that yard he used to have.
Yeah, but does it matter when you've got all that
experience and knowledge
of the game?
Yes, it does matter. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, okay. Well, Quentin Fortune.
Quentin Fortune would disagree.
I think so. But yes, the feeling in the media seems to be that Liverpool will be more up for it. And I understand that, of course, because Real Madrid have been to finals of late. They're on for their third in a row. But Tony Kroos has said the match with Liverpool will be like facing 11 animals. Mm. And then he denied that Liverpool's motivation will be greater than Real Madrid's. And Zidane said, you can't say Liverpool have more hunger than us. It's simply not true. No one can take our hunger away from us.
Yeah, I think it's a misconception that Liverpool are going to want it more just because, you know, the Romans
like Joe Hart in the World Cup. Like, he wanted it more, and look what happened. He performed brilliantly.
Yeah, well, I do think that you've got this idea of Real Madrid will be very comfortable there because they're used to it, so they won't be expending on this nervous energy. But Liverpool will be extremely motivated, and of course, if that's channeled in the right way, that can be very powerful. But, you know, the amount of nervous energy that happens before a big final, I think, is something that's probably quite underplayed. Mm. I forget who it was who said it, but someone said on the TV recently that, you know, the reason traditionally that it's really hard to play in the FA Cup final at the old Wembley, for example, is said because you would spend all day leading up to that game.
Yeah, that's right.
Thinking about it nervously, and you just waste so much energy. You feel so leggy after about 20 minutes. You feel like, God, this is crazy. Also, this pitch is massive.
It's difficult to eat sometimes if your stomach's like got full of butterflies. I know it's a silly thing to say, but you need to take on...
But Real Madrid will be more used to it. Liverpool will perhaps... If you were going to say that a team really desperately wants it more, well, I understand what Zidane's saying, and I'm not one to criticise the great man, but Real Madrid have already won it quite a few times recently.
Yes, but a side that have won it a few times, or a couple of times recently, they know how to win it. They have that hunger. That's why they come back for more. You know, they're not just a one-hit wonder. Mm. And also, a big side like that, their motivation is, just you remember who the big boys are.
Absolutely, as well, because, you know, it was such a big deal was made of no one having retained the Champions League for a long time. If you do that three times, that might never be repeated. Mm-hmm. And that is laying your marker down as the absolute big dog.
Mm. Well, Liverpool are 5-4 to lift the big trophy. £10 with Bet365 will return £22.50, including stake, should they do the business.
Did you see the photos, the new photos of Cristiano Ronaldo training? I mean, they seem to come out weekly, don't they? Yeah. A little bit more definition.
I think he has a set of drones that just hover around him at all times.
In his orbit.
Yeah. Fueled by his own self-sense of satisfaction.
I mean, he does look in great nick, to be fair.
Yeah. I mean, has done...
Yeah, but I mean, he's now obviously getting older, but he still looks great.
Well, he says, right now I have a biological age of 23.
Is he used one of those Facebook things?
Yeah.
Where, like, you put a photo in and it tells you how old you're supposed to be. Like, how on earth do you determine that? Yeah.
Mm. Well, look, I can keep playing until I'm 41. Love how he chooses 41.
41, yeah.
Well, we were saying...
Until May 22nd, 4:05.
Yeah. When is the Champions League final in 8 years' time or whatever? We were saying, I can't remember if we mentioned it on here before, but you could totally see him going all like further back in the pitch and being a centre-half.
Mm. That'd be amazing.
Clean shorts, big headers.
Yeah. It would be amazing if he did that.
Yeah. He'd be a bit like Ramos. I mean, imagine
scoring from corners.
Absolutely, every corner.
He's massively adjusted his game anyway, so it's not a huge stretch to think of him doing it in a different way.
Yeah. Well, he said, we are playing another final on Saturday and the fans are behind Cristiano.
And the Real Madrid, I think, but I've not bothered checking. Cristiano is 3-1 to be the first goal scorer on the night in 90 minutes. So should he open proceedings with the first one at £10 with Bet365?
3-1.
Returns £40, including stake.
Mm. I'm very excited about this game. Not only because it's obviously going to be a brilliant game, but then when it's over, you get that glorious sort of football perineum between the season and the World Cup.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think the fever's going to go up
a
notch.
We all go to bed for 2 weeks.
Yeah. And we can't handle it otherwise. Just to date ourselves.
I watch a lot of basketball.
And it's a great day for... I mean, we'll come on to this a bit later, but it's a great day on Saturday because you've got the 5 o'clock playoff final, championship playoff final, then you've got the Champions League final. Mm-hmm. Oh, what a day!
Super. Nice. Rafa Benitez, who still lives in the Liverpool area, of course, said that if Klopp wins the Champions League, his life will change forever. But if they do win the Champions League, then it'll be interesting to see how Klopp celebrates. He did say once upon a time, you'll never find me 3 days after a win, drunk in a hedge and still celebrating. Could change, though. If they won that game.
I'd love to see
it's
that.
It's like an oddly specific thing to say.
Yeah. That's a man who's been caught in a hedge 3 days after celebrating.
Yeah. You'll never catch me doing that again.
Jürgen, you're drunk 3 days after a big final. I'm not in a hedge, though, am I?
Yeah.
I told you I wouldn't be.
And you're drunk.
But you are up a tree. Yeah. So there we are.
A sky hedge. Mm.
Indeed. And now it's time for correspondence with Peatman.
It is time for correspondence with Peatman and Aaron Cottrell. I'm fairly certain I won't have to bleep that name out. Hello, chaps. Long-time listener, first-time writer. Being 13 years old, playing in a very low-standard tournament in the marshes of Bognor Regis, as well as being hosted by the infamous Butlins Resort, it was to our utmost surprise that Tony Adams was the compere for the post-tournament awards ceremony.
Mm. That's great.
It's good, isn't it?
What a coup.
Yeah. What a coup. The ceremony was lasting far too long as every single team received medals for participation. Poor. After our 6th energy drink and 8th sherbet stick, it was our turn to take stage. This is basically like the 13-year-old world's equivalent of being tired and emotional. I had too many sherbets.
Yeah. I thought you were going to say after that much and I only had two chocolates from my advent calendar. I went on stage and defecated. Yeah.
My mate, it was a bit of a prankster. He was stood in front of me in line to receive his said medal. Both Tony Adams and my mate started to motion for a handshake before my pal ducked it at the last second to make an incredibly funny face right at the aghast Adams. Adams called him a disgrace and refused to give him the participation medal, to which my mate ran off crying his eyes out.
Oh, that's clever. I remember saying to Ray Parler about 3 weeks ago, I saw a picture of Tony Adams wearing a disgraceful like carpet coat in the 90s.
He's got form to
be fair. And I said, oh, Ray, I saw a picture of Tony Adams wearing this coat. And Ray Parler just looked at me and looked wistfully in the distance, like a 1,000-yard stare, and just went, yeah, Tony had some gear. like it was almost like it hurt him to think of what the clothes that Tony Adams used to wear. But can I just say that's only a coup to have Tony Adams presenting the medals if it was in the 90s and not like last week or something.
Oh, right.
Because
that
would be rubbish.
No, it would still be good.
It's a good name. It's a big name.
It would still be good.
Manage Pompey.
Matt Williams.
I tell you, that performance that everyone talks about against Milan in the Europa League, that was on the Tony Adams.
Everyone talks about?
All the time.
Matt Williams. And they all got participation medals. Matt Williams says, basically that he's very upset that we haven't talked about the playoff between Notts County and Coventry. I have specifically vetoed us talking about that because they've released Shola Amiobi.
Yeah,
so right. I'm not.
Well, I did see the second leg and it was an incredible game. Mm.
The first leg was like very rainy because I was watching that just to see if Shola would get on, but he didn't.
Any more weather insights, Pete? Because I can't remember the weather for the second game.
No, I don't know.
But Notts County were incredibly unlucky with the big decisions. At one point, I think Mark McNulty, Coventry striker, a good player, might have definitely scored one in that second leg. He stuck the nut on a Notts County player in front of the linesman and nothing happened.
They won the second leg 4-1, was it?
Then Notts County fought their way back into the game and then Coventry sucker punched them and that was that. But it was an incredible second leg.
There were some decisions,
game.
Wasn't there?
Oh, big time. At one point, there was a fight on the touchline or like a little scuffle with the aforementioned Mark McNulty and a Notts County player whose name escapes me. The linesman chucked his linesman's flag on the floor and just gets stuck right in there.
Does he?
Brilliant.
Yeah. And there was a disallowed goal which shouldn't have been offside, and there was a goal that was scored that was offside twice in the build up that Coventry got to, which stood. Mm. So all the big decisions went against Notts County.
Was Smudger Smith getting involved? Yeah.
This email of Matt Williams, I'll bore on about this all day if you want. Kevin, what you wish for.
You've had your mention.
There you go, Matty. Yeah.
Tom Hughes, hello chaps. I hope nobody's emailed about this before to you. I want to make you aware of the smallest football league in the world. The Isles of Scilly, 28 miles off the coast of Cornwall, have a population of 2,300 and it hosts the Isle of Scilly Football League. The competition started in the 1920s, originally a competition between the five populated islands of the Isles. The league now has only two teams, the Woolpack Wanderers and the Garrison Gunners. Despite being the only teams, they still play each other at least 17 times each season.
Class. And it looks absolutely beautiful, the Isles of Scilly.
Yeah,
I'd love
really
to go there.
And they compete for not just the league titles, but two cups, the Wholesalers' Cup and the Four Deck Cup, played over two legs.
That's brilliant.
I didn't know they had over 2,000 people living on the Scilly Isles.
Here's the fact.
Do they need a 35-year-old striker? Because Marcus, after his Old Trafford trial.
Yeah.
Yeah, you could play for them, couldn't you?
I reckon so.
Yeah.
Some of the most interesting facts I could find, none of which I can verify is 100% accurate about the league, are they play a showcase game against a team made up of bird watchers who visit the islands in the fall.
Class.
The average age of
both
teams...
Presumably they all argue who's going to play on the wing.
Yeah, nice. Yeah.
No. The average age of both teams to be with is around about the mid to late 30s.
There you go
for Marcus. Every summer before the start of the season, the club's captains go through the tradition of picking the teams via school rules at the local pub. Players often struggle to recall which team they played for the previous year. One match is called off due to a player twisting an ankle in a rabbit hole, and the 2010-11 season winner was decided in the last 5 minutes of the final match, and after matches, all of the teams go to the pub.
No. That's quite cool. So in the summer presuming any of this is true, which we might as well for the sake of the show, in the summer they go to the same pub and just have a few beers, decide who plays for which team.
Nice.
And then they do that for the rest of the season.
It's like
and
a draft.
They only play each other.
It's like the NFL draft.
Yeah.
With draft.
With draft ale. Yeah.
Oh, well, lovely. So, yeah. Thank you very much for that.
If you want to get in touch with the show, shortthefootballramble.com.
Especially if you are a listener who's currently residing in the Isles of Scilly. We'd love to hear from you.
Yeah,
very much so. There we are, ladies and gentlemen. Right, we're going to talk about Unai Emery after this.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
I better go to the cash point and get some money, if I've got any money left.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble. Previous show sponsored by Bet365, everybody.
An apt little jingle there for about what we're about to talk about.
Yeah, Unai Emery has succeeded Big Veng at Arsenal.
Does he respect Arsenal fan TV yet?
Well, let's assume no.
Because the jury's still going from there.
Okay. Do you know the best thing about Unai Emery?
He looks like you. Is,
he doesn't really.
I think he does a bit.
More Christian Bale, I think.
What, you?
No.
Oh, him. Emery. Okay, yeah.
He probably doesn't know about Arsenal fan TV.
I imagine he'll have been briefed. Yeah. Unai Emery is on Twitter. Let's see how long that lasts. Right,
so I don't know. I don't think he knows anything about it. And for that, I envy the man.
He changed his profile picture to an Arsenal badge.
Yeah,
his,
I mean, he announced cute, it effectively, didn't he? That
his,
is sweet. Yeah.
His
yeah.
header image is embarrassing.
What is it?
It's him holding like an old school 50s football, like an old brown leather job. Nice. And it's him just going, looking at it, going, oh, Jim, I'm the scientist.
Jim, he's having a pop at your new dad already.
I'm currently looking at your new Pete's dad.
His, he might change it to
actually, yours is going for gold.
Is it?
doesn't Emery look more like Pete?
Everyone looks like Pete.
Yeah, exactly.
Emery has got black hair at the moment. I imagine that won't continue.
He's 46 years old.
He's going to go grey.
Yeah, he's already dying it.
Yeah, I mean, by the time he leaves in 22 years, it will be completely grey. Yeah.
I think he looks more... I mean, because the thing is, Marcus's traditional lookalike, which isn't really a radio feature, but anyway, is Paul Pescia-Salido.
Yeah.
But the problem is, that's harsh on Marcus, because I think Paul Pescia-Salido, I don't know if he still is, but was at least at one point married to Karen Brady. Mm. And I don't think it's fair to associate you with that family, really.
That family. That outfit.
I don't think I look that. I get lots of
look
different
like
lookalikes.
Yeah.
That's the thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. You do look like him. I mean, you do.
Yeah, but I look slightly like him, but there's a lot of people I sort of slightly look like in the public eye.
Anyway, Unai Emery's best quote so far was, "Let's catch Man City."
Love that.
Yeah.
Jim, that must fill you with glee.
It genuinely does, because, you know, there's change has been needed at the Emirates for a long, long time, or the Emirates, as we'll be calling it now, I'm sure.
Nice.
Who knows if this is actually going to happen, but all the right noises are being made. It's
clearly
a sort of very modern structure.
It's not going to happen.
Right, okay.
Well, they're not going to catch Man City.
They're not going to catch Man City anytime soon.
But what I mean is broadly sort of Arsenal climbing back up the league and becoming more competitive.
I find it a really interesting situation. I'll tell you why, because... They finished sixth this season, of course, Arsenal, and you look at their squad, and we've talked about this before over the last couple of weeks. I mean, a couple of additions, particularly defensively, which is going to be taken out of Emery's hands by the sounds of it.
Yeah.
But they can hopefully strengthen defensively. If they do that, I mean, on the continent, which is out now, Andy and James were talking a bit about how Alphonse Areola may well follow him to Arsenal, and he's an improvement on Cech and Ospina, according to them. So that's the first port of call. So what you're looking at then is a team where you think, if they strengthen with a couple of players defensively, they're a very under-coached team, as we heard yesterday as well, so they'll improve. And with that squad of players, they probably should be doing better. And I think that's something we can hopefully all agree on. But look at the five teams above them, and when you think about that, you think, okay, at the expense of who? Mm. Chelsea are going to get a new manager probably in the summer. You'd imagine they're going to be a bit more consistent. Spurs are way ahead. City are miles ahead. United are going to strengthen big time in the summer. And Liverpool are very, very talented as well. So it's almost like it's hard to know at the expense of who else they're going to move up with.
It's a terrible time to replace, isn't it? It's a terrible time to chase anyone in the Premier League.
But in a sense, that's what's so exciting about it, because Arsenal, for the first time in such a long time, are an unknown quantity. And I like that this completely new it's not just a new manager, it's a completely new management structure, which all of them seem happy with. Wenger resisted, you know,
any change, really.
Absolutely, any change at all. And that has been sorely needed for a long time. Apparently, he sort of, you know, Emery's massive on videos, isn't he? He gives players videos to take home and things like that. And apparently, Wenger sort of towards the end of the reign was a little kind of suspicious of some innovations that are just standard at other clubs. Right. So Arsenal should catch up with
that. So he'll get a player after training and say, "There you go. Have you seen Weekend at Bernie's or whatever?"
Yeah.
Take the video home.
He's like a one man blockbuster.
Yeah,
nice. Franchise.
Weekend at Bernie's.
The first thing it came to mind.
Because you thought video.
Yeah,
well, that's also, not on DVD.
To be fair, if Arsenal have been an 80s movie over the last few years, it's absolutely been Weekend at Arsenal.
Wenger playing the part of Bernie.
Weekend at Bernie's.
Yeah, lovely. Well, but you say they need to overhaul those teams above them.
Well, I do.
But they need to overhaul a lot more teams than that, really, because he wants to make Arsenal the best team in the world.
Wow.
Yeah. So he needs to overhaul Real Madrid.
I'm enjoying this talk. Emery's chat.
Why shouldn't he?
You know, Emery's chat.
I would heartily recommend, if you don't listen to On the Continent, which is out every Wednesday and Saturday, the guys at James Horncastle, Andy Brassel, on it every week. They talk a lot about Emery and his time, not just at PSG, which Andy was saying is not really that great an indicator.
Yeah.
But they talk about his time at Sevilla, where obviously they won, was it three Europa Leagues in a row?
In a row, yeah.
Yeah, and that's a similar, was perhaps more of a similar situation to Arsenal than PSG is. And overall, it was a really positive chat. So it's worth checking out. And it's exciting times for Arsenal. When we talked about this last week, Jim, we were talking about, is Mikel Arteta a gamble? Is so-and-so a gamble? And I remember thinking, really, at this stage, everything's a gamble for Arsenal because it's been the same for so long.
Yeah, and this is probably the closest you're going to get to like a safe bet in a situation like this, because he is an experienced manager. Apparently a little bit of a disciplinarian as well, which is clearly what a lot of this squad need.
Yeah.
I mean, firstly, clearly Arsenal need to make changes on the playing staff, but there has to be more from that team. There has to be more from the players in that squad already, because they just underperformed so badly away from home.
Yeah,
absolutely undercoached.
Yeah, I was a little bit kind of underwhelmed slightly when they appointed him, because I actually wanted to see what Arteta could do. But just in the last sort of day or two, I'm thinking to myself, actually, I think this is a good appointment. Sorry.
Yeah, and he's used to working with big players and bigger years.
Absolutely,
as well.
At a similar sort of level, and more so with PSG, which might be useful for links in the future in terms of transfers. You
and
never
for
know.
With Ozil.
And for dealing with Ozil, absolutely. And I think, you know, people have said to me in the past, if you could have anyone, who would you like to replace Arsene Wenger? And I always said Diego Simeone, not necessarily because of the style. I wouldn't mind team style changing that much because it happens over time, inevitably. But what I always liked about Simeone was that he's winning stuff in a league where he is so comprehensively outspent all the time and is not the biggest fish in that pond. And the same, to a far smaller degree, does apply to Unai Emery. Because he's managed to win those three Europa Leagues with Sevilla and make Sevilla relevant, you know, which is a tough gig.
And PSG don't have the spending power of some other Liga teams, of course.
No, I mean, we're writing them off as an irrelevance, as has already been touched on.
I'm only following your pizza.
Arsenal are 28-1 to win next season's Premier League title with Bet365. £10 return, £290, including stakes. Should the Unai Emery revolution start quickly?
Well, he spoke about the importance of intensity, pressing, and connecting with people, and I like that. Mm. We're going to win matches and hearts.
Yeah. Oh, I think he's. They're not playing hearts. I think he's going
to win that.
We talk about how conceptually it's quite difficult because of the teams above them, because of the way the Premier League is, and blah blah blah. But actually, he probably knows that team's under coach. He probably knows it should be doing a lot better. He probably knows that actually, if I can get a better points total than Arsenal did this season, if I can improve stuff that's actually quite easy to win, like things like their away record, they can improve that, maybe do something in the Europa League or something like that. I think initially, in the short term, there might be some easy wins for him to pick up, which will give him a bit of momentum.
Yeah. And the thing I am most intrigued by is what the atmosphere at the Emirates is going to be like from the start of next season, because it's got toxic for a long time. Fans getting uneasy if Arsenal haven't scored after 20 minutes, even in games that end up being like a comfortable romp. There's all this kind of this sense of unease that's just permeated the whole place. And hopefully, if that's gone, that is a huge, huge lift to the club straight away.
It's a good point, actually, Jim, because it also what it will do is it give us a good idea of what type of fans Arsenal fans are, because we've only because the narrative has always been painted out into a Wenger this, Wenger that narrative, rather than what type of fans are Arsenal fans. We don't really fully know. We take the piss out of them for being like posh and all that kind of stuff, but actually it'll be interesting to see how patient they are. That's one thing we could learn.
Like, how long till the planes come out?
Disrespecting Arsenal fans?
I would never do that, Marcus.
No.
Okay. I pick my battles very carefully. I would never ever pick that internet behemoth. Behemoth.
All right. Talking of behemoths, Manuel Pellegrini is the new West Ham boss.
What a coup.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
I mean, he must have rocks in his
head. Did he not see what happened there last season? He'll be given full control over transfers and an escape pod, presumably. part of a 3-year deal. He left his post at, forgive pronunciation, Hebei China Fortune to take up the position at West Ham. Fortune of the side that have Hernanez, the Brazilian, who played
You're a big fan of Hernanez, aren't you? Was it Lazio?
Lazio, and I think maybe Inter as well.
He was a great player for a while.
Javier Mascherano, Ezequiel Lavezzi, and Jovinho.
And are you linking all those players with West Ham again?
Maybe.
Mascherano with a homecoming.
Exactly. Jovinho knows the league.
He had such a great time there last time.
Yeah, but he's the first Premier League winning manager to take charge at West Ham. Will it bode well, Peter? Will they be celebrating a Premier League win?
Can't be. One match, yeah. I will say
start
yes.
Start off small.
Probably away from home.
You've got to build on those little victories, have you not? hang on. Speaking of Enos, do you see what Ronaldinho has been up to of late?
Our Twitter followers
you are
made
better than that.
Are you speaking to me or him?
So, Pete, what do you think about Ronaldinho allegedly and reportedly marrying two women at the same time?
I think he's just found the cheat codes for life, really. Yeah. It's just like, sort of.
GBH the old ears, am I right?
I feel like if everyone's happy, then that's brilliant.
I was being facetious and ironic.
It sounds like he's found the cheating codes, Peter.
Yeah.
Well, he's not, though. He's legitimised it, isn't he?
Yeah.
I mean, is that legal? Is it legal?
I mean, that is a huge question. It must be.
It's a huge question that Ronaldinho himself has almost certainly not considered.
Yeah. And won't consider.
All he's thinking is, I can sell twice as many Segways.
All
two wives, two Segways.
He's thinking, boot the glass up high, let's drink.
Let's drink.
Yeah. That's what
let's
he's
drink. Wow, God. Imagine Ronaldinho's wedding reception.
Jim, to start off,
he's got two wives.
Do you remember, Jim? That's what it is.
He wants to
have two receptions.
He wants to see him.
Well, we've got two stag do's.
Do you guys remember? It's a sketchy memory, but hopefully you guys will remember more than me. I think it would have been 4 years ago when the World Cup was being held in Brazil. Ronaldinho was letting out his bungalow.
Yeah, I remember.
For parties.
That's right. Yeah.
Oh, is he doing that this time?
He said, and on the notes, it was consider the neighbours.
That's right. And don't touch the computer.
Well, that was Pete's input.
Consider the neighbours. They deserve a holiday too.
Do you think he wouldn't? He won't have a stag do. He'll have a stag tour.
Yeah.
Would you, Pete, go on Ronaldinho's stag?
Yeah, I'd definitely do that. That'd be wonderful.
Pete's had two email invites to stag do since we last talked about it.
I'm just saying, get in touch, Ronnie.
Donnie and Ronnie.
Yeah. I smell a sitcom.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Can I have just one of your wives?
Yeah.
You'll still have one left.
One man is
disrespectful.
One man has lived an incredible life, one of the most skillful football players we've ever seen, and the other man is contributing nothing.
Yeah.
That's the sitcom.
Yeah. I think that's unnecessary, isn't it?
Is it unfair?
Kind of unnecessary.
What are you contributing? Maplin's cables.
Well,
he'd be a useful comic foil.
When I die, the worms can eat me.
There we go. It's nice to think of.
It's a double act where there's no straight man. It'd be brilliant.
Yeah, there we go.
That's what you think of yourself. At least I'll give the worms a favour.
Yeah.
Right, let's talk about the playoff final then. Fulham against Aston Villa.
Speaking of worms, John Terry.
I'm actually going to donate my body to science, so... Yeah, that'll test you, as a footballer once said.
Don't do it now.
Oh, is that why you...
I keep sending them toenails.
Mate, I might have to send toenails to a lab, actually.
Oh, come on. Fulham versus Aston Villa. Yeah.
Fulham versus footballers.
Marcus, I feel we need to know.
Footballers.
Sorry, everybody,
footballers
I tried.
Will frequently get foot rot.
A friend of mine had an unidentified fungal infection in his big toenail, so they asked him to cut a piece of the toenail off and send it to a lab for analysis.
I gave myself a cancer scare quite recently because I chopped off a bit of my chin because it was like just a lump.
Instead of
just seeing how it went, I just attacked it with freezing spray from Boots.
We can talk about the playoff final at any moment.
And I sent it on.
But Marcus, this is the thing, right? This is the level we're at, right? Let me just run this past you. Someone you know well has in his own words, chopped off a part of his chin.
I'm trying to do him a favour.
He's not even raised eyebrows in the room.
And I sent it off, and they couldn't identify what it was.
Probably it was just a bit of chin.
Well,
yeah. Why have you identified? Apparently, you're 5% French. You're 25%.
I love it if they replied saying chin.
Well, they sent it off twice because they couldn't figure out what it was or what the growth was. And then when it came back, they said, we can't figure out what it is. And this is like after like a month and a half. And I was, you know, getting a bit worried. A bit annoyed, and then it came back and they went, it's just scar tissue because you attacked it in the first instance.
Right.
It sounds like they're just chinned
don't
it off.
Don't do whole surgery,
Aston
guys.
Villa
essentially
is happening
making work
this Saturday. Yeah. Villa edged out Middlesbrough in the semi-final. Fulham overcame a 1-0 first leg loss against Derby by winning 2-0 at Craven Cottage. I was there.
I was there.
It was a wonderful occasion, unless you're a Derby fan, of course.
I hate Villa.
And oh, you do, don't you?
Fulham, are you trying to make like disguise your voice?
So listeners are going, well, one of them hates Aston Villa.
Well, Luke and I was sort of
fifth man in the studio. Yeah.
Luke and I was sort of talking when you did that, right? Jim doesn't have any hatred in his body,
right? Yeah, no. Okay. That's true. Actually, Jim is quite chilled.
Yeah, he does. So. He has hatred for what's
himself.
His name?
Oh, Carlos Tevez. It's all pumped into Carlos Tevez.
Huge burning jealousy of Roger Federer.
But anyway, Fulham had the chance to finish second on the final day of the regular season, of course, but just missed out. And I was a bit worried for the Mighty Whites going into that game against Derby. And they lost the first leg. And Derby, for three quarters of that tie, got it just about right. Of course, they were 1-0 up. And then Ryan Sessegnon took
advantage. I don't think they got the second leg right. I thought they were really, really
poor. At half-time, it was 0-0.
Yeah, but they were showing absolutely no ambition at all. It's clear that wasn't going to hold.
But they had to dig in, didn't they? I mean, Fulham are a better side than Derby.
Yeah.
If Derby came out and try and play, but they know Fulham are going to pick them off.
But to me, it didn't feel like even like they tried to play on the break, which they could have done.
Well, I think that was the game plan, wasn't it? When, of course, Fulham scored the second goal, you saw the atmosphere among the crowd. They were already, it was about, I don't know, 25 minutes left or something like that, and they were singing, you know, we're off to Wembley, because the confidence the fans at Craven Cottage have in the team is immense.
Jokanović's eyebrow is actually underrated.
It is, yeah.
People talk about Ancelotti's eyebrow. Mm. People talk about Marcus Speller's eyebrow.
Yeah, yeah.
They don't talk about Slavisa Jokanović's eyebrow nearly often enough.
Yeah, I agree with you. Well, hopefully next season, if they're in the Premier League, they will, and I want Fulham to go up, as we all know. But also, I would love for Fulham to go up, because I'd love to see this team in the Premier League.
See what it'd be like.
Fulham, honestly, I know I've gone on about them before, but they play such great football. Like, they really are admired by a lot of people down in the Championship. And if they don't go up, if Villa do win, and my prediction before the playoff semi-finals, when the semi-finals were drawn, or not drawn, but, you know, were established, I thought Villa would beat Fulham in the final. I just think, you know, a couple of canny operators in there, and so an i.e. John Terry.
Well,
you know?
It's interesting. Jokanović has actually said he thinks Terry's got mistakes in it, and
they're
going to target him. It's an interesting one, though. Do you think that's a bit of mind games, just to sort of throw Villa and
think
they're going to play a certain way when in reality they may not?
I think Jokanović is just being honest, because you know how Fulham are going to play. This is the thing about this Fulham side. They might not have a plan B, but plan A is pretty good, and it's shown to be in 2018.
But the key battle there will be Terry versus Mitrovic.
And well, that's a lovely battle, by the way.
And Mitrovic is a focal point for them, despite the sort of football they play.
Uh-huh. Well, to be fair...
But I think John Terry is possibly canny enough to deal with Mitrovic, who, to be fair, looked several levels above Championship level when he played against Derby in the second leg.
Yeah. Well, I think to target Terry in the final is obvious, because Mitrovic is on him. But if you can bring Sessegnon in and try and get him on one-on-one situations, then Sessegnon will just burn them with his
pace. But I've got a feeling, you know what, and this is probably a fairly unpopular opinion about Ryan Sessegnon. I got the impression the first half against Derby, the game was a bit too big for him. And I don't think he was actually that good in the second leg.
You hear that, Spurs fans? he were begging for them not to.
I understand what you're saying, but he scored.
He got his goal. Absolutely got his goal. I think you know, look, he's clearly a really talented young player, and he's going to have an amazing career. But I don't think, I mean, I know Spurs are after him, and I understand why. I think it's probably a little bit fanciful. On my assessment, would certainly say it's a bit fanciful to suggest that he's going to make an impact at Spurs at the top end of the Premier League next season if he goes there. I don't think that's the case.
Well, that's why a number of reasons why I don't want him to go to Spurs. And if Fulham can get promoted, he will play in that Fulham side.
And they'll learn a lot more.
But I just love to see this Fulham side in the Premier League.
But the playoff final might be a game too far for Sessegnon. We don't know.
Well, true enough. But as I said,
he'll get a hat-trick now, I've said that.
From my point of view, sadly, I still would just about stand by that early prediction and think Villa will edge it. Just I think that they will find a way. And I think they're well aware of how Fulham play. Fulham, you know, Jokanović says, you know how we're going to play. they've played like that. And if you could, you know, Derby were not as good as Fulham, obviously, and Derby tried to dig in and just hold out. They couldn't do it. Villa, on the other hand, were a better side. I think it's an intriguing final we have in prospect.
Fulham are 8-13 to be promoted from the Championship. So £10 with Bet365 returns £16.15, including stake, should Jokanovic's men do the business.
If Aston Villa do go up, have you heard about the deal?
This is ridiculous.
This is hilarious.
Well, John Terry will have the option of a 12-month extension to his contract. And within that contract, I don't know if it is there already or it will be put into play, but he will be exempt from facing Chelsea in the league.
Just in case we'd forgotten about the character of the man. Little bonus.
That he constantly reminds us of in inadvertent ways.
Yeah. I mean, Lampard scored against Chelsea for Manchester City.
Yeah. God, what a contrast. It's incredible. Isn't it? I mean, what's fascinating to me about this is if you're going to have a contract like that or have a clause like that, why make it public? Why not just skip the game?
Yeah, but
hang out with Mesut Ozil and get a completely legitimate illness that you can't play.
A mystery illness, no less. That appears to disappear about 5:15 on a Saturday.
Yeah.
Let's not also forget, by the way, that Rotherham and Shrewsbury are contesting the League One Player Final on Sunday, and the aforementioned Coventry face Exeter City in the League Two showpiece on Monday too. So good luck to your team if they're involved, and have a lovely day out at Wembley.
Have a lovely day out at Wembley. Mm. There we are. Now it's time for our best bet with Bet365.
Yes, this week's best bet comes from James Leakey, who says, "I will keep this simple in capital letters, goals. To ensure that dire excuse for an FA Cup final is not a lasting stain on what has been a pretty entertaining season, I'm backing some serious goals in the Champions League final. Real Madrid versus Liverpool, over 4.5 goals, currently 11-4 with Bet365. Thanks for all the podcasts, they're great. James Leakey." So to recap, we have to see 5 goals or more in 90 minutes for this bet to come in. It is at 11-4, so our £50 will raise £187.50 for Prostate Cancer UK, including stake if it comes in. You must be over the age of 18 to gamble, and do gamble responsibly. And for more information, go to begambleaware.org. Good luck to you, James Leakey. If you get this one right, I'm right in saying I think there's no preview show next week. So if you get this one right, you are going to be carrying over either to next season or the start of the World Cup. We haven't worked it out yet, but you'll be in the hot seat for quite some time. So the pressure is on you.
Five
goals or more in the Champions League final in 90 minutes.
Love that, old Leakey.
Yeah, Leako.
Excellent stuff. Now, what has Luke been asking the listeners this week, Luke?
I said the following on the Facebook page, which is available /football ramble. We found a great quote about the original Ronaldo when researching our history special on him. Those history specials are now out now. They're World Cup themed, of course. And the quote we found about Ronaldo is, I think, Jim, it was you who found it, which is, "Ronaldo is not a man, he's a herd."
Yeah.
So I asked our listeners, what's your favourite quote about a footballer? Straight off the bat, first reply, within about 5 seconds, Dan Boardman, "Alexander Mitrovic is a new Alan Shearer."
There you go. Well, I might be proved right.
The jury's still out.
At 3 o'clock.
Out.
3 or 5. He's not three in. That.
Ben Duin said he likes this particular one. "At the moment, we've got 16 first-team players. My initials stand for Mick McCarthy, not Merlin the Magician." Sam Calvert weighs in with a Kevin Keegan quote. "I don't think there is anybody bigger or smaller than Maradona," which is a nice one.
Yeah.
Connor Barber says he remembers an Oxford fan describing a former striker of theirs, George Donnelly, as having the footballing brain of a brick, which is quite nice.
Yep.
Axel Eklund, fantastically named Axel Eklund. Sven's assistant Hans Backer speaking on Swedish television about Micah Richards. "He's got all the talent in the world, but you cannot teach that boy anything."
That's a great one.
And a couple more to finish. Eamon Dumphy on John Hartson, according to Sean, who says, looking at John Hartson, Dumphy said, "That is not the arse of a £7 million player." And I'll finish with this one from Rick Fry, who says, a quote about Roger Johnson after he backed off of Yaya Toure about 45 yards out in the 2014 League Cup semi-final first leg. "He looked like a frightened dog being chased by a vacuum cleaner."
Drinking.
There we are.
Hashtag drinking.
Oh, man.
Right, it's time for the Jim Campbell section, isn't it?
It's now time for Going for Glory.
Whoa! The final Going for Glory of the season. When they're going for Glory. Lord. Yes!
Pete, does this count for 90% of it?
No, it doesn't. Actually, quick email. Michael Scheele got in touch. Hello, Ramblers. A while ago in your correspondence section, it was mentioned that the Going for Glory players could be compiled so that the six-a-side squad could be made at the end of the season for me to decide a winning team, much like the MLS Cup after winning the MLS league format. I've gone through all of the Going for Glory so far and I've attached a PDF of the players which Marcus, Luke and Jim can pick from. We can stick it on Twitter if you want. Before Luke has a go at me for having too much time on my hands, I'll simply ask, who do you plan on putting in goal?
No one. I haven't got enough right, have I?
No.
I'll go and goal myself. I'll go and bins myself.
Yeah. I mean, Luke's team's pretty good. Taribo West, Carl Heinz Riedler, Efan Okoko and Diego Forlan. I mean, it's not too bad, is it?
It's but quite top heavy, isn't it?
Yeah. Marcus, Bardsley, Bosnich, Izzet, Mido, Valderrama, Scholl, Gravesen, Hasselbank, Balak, Berbatov and Grintles, obviously.
Yeah, Barry Grintles.
How did you get Gravesen? That is absolutely outrageous.
Traore for Jim, Alonso, Silva, Windass, Baggio, Alves of Hesselink, Janis, Benayoun, Svensson, Jeremy, Slater, Jovino, Vieri, Chilavert and Crankyard. I mean,
long that list,
Jim's
isn't it?
Killing it.
Jim's got a very, very
rare piece of arrogance from Jim.
If Mourinho saw that squad, he would be complaining about
it.
I mean, his headstone's going to have a dig at someone on it, though, and we can assume that.
If you were up against Mourinho, the manager of real battle, he saw your squad, he'd be fuming.
Yeah.
So many players. Two players in each position. Jim's paying £50 million for fullbacks.
Yeah, I'll tell you what.
Well, it is time for Going for Glold. Let's have a bit of this again. When they're going for Glold.
Why is there no Grintles?
I've tried to find it.
You've named it Grintles.
Did I?
On the iPad. When they're
going for Barry Grintles.
There we go. There we go.
You just like to kill a joke, that's all, Luke.
I do, right, I like to kill John, it dead, John, and then flog it.
And there's still a bit of life in it.
Move on.
Yeah.
John Cray has come up at the close of this one. Thank you to everyone who's got in touch through the season with their clues. You've been bloody marvellous. Thank you, John Cray, as well. Here's your first clue. Gentlemen, number one, I was born just under 11 years away from the summer of love.
Oh, could be recent or old. Okay. All right. So it could be 78 or 56. Won't be 56, will it?
No, 67 was the summer of love.
Yeah, 11 years either way.
Did he not say after?
No, either way.
Either way.
11
either
years way. From. I know, exactly.
Missed the tenor.
Pathetic. See, showing off.
I mean, Luke has a handle on the clues, but Jim always wins. So
stop.
Jim just drinks it all in.
Peter Beardsley.
Incorrect.
I'm going to have a guess. Do you know what? I'm going to have a guess.
Yeah, right.
I'm going to go stop. I'm going to go for John Terry.
Incorrect.
Stop. John Walk.
No. Nice. Number two, I began my youth career at playing goalkeeper for my hometown club, but a shoulder injury caused me to become a field player.
Stop. Alan Shearer.
Incorrect.
Stop. David Icke.
Stop. Pope John Paul II.
Number three, I am a World Cup winner.
Ooh. Saucepans.
A World
Number
Cup
four.
Stop. No, can I have a guess for the World Cup?
Yeah.
Cafu.
Incorrect. Number four. Late last year, I was in Moscow for the World Cup 2018 draw. While walking through my hotel lobby, I was approached by two women. After taking pictures with them, things escalated quickly, culminating in being attacked by a...
Lothar Matthäus.
Incorrect.
Oh.
Stop. Fabio Cannavaro.
Incorrect.
Carry on.
You didn't let me finish the clue.
Yeah. You get to finish the clue, but only for Jim. That's the rule.
Things escalated quickly, culminating in taking a dildo to the face.
Oh dear.
Oh dear.
I feel like we should know that.
Yeah, I remember this story, but I can't remember who it was.
Are you going to get a guess or are we going to go to the next clue, Jim? Only you can guess on this clue now.
Yeah. Can you read the clue again?
No.
No, get on with it.
Get on with it. Moscow, World Cup 18 draw.
Two women.
Dildo, face. Two women.
Stop. Rivaldo.
Incorrect.
Oh, I thought you had that.
Atletico Bilbao awarded me the one man club, or one club man, rather.
Athletic Bilbao.
What
that clue's a joke. It's not accurate.
Athletic Bilbao.
So he just played for Athletic Bilbao?
Awarded him the one club man award.
Wow. I mean, that's a big clue, isn't it?
Stop. Bixente Lizarazu.
Ooh. Nice to hear the full name, but no.
I think he's from the Basque region.
And he won the World Cup. So
I
got nothing for
that. Yeah, same.
Depending on who you ask, I have either 6, 100 or 106 national team caps.
Right, okay.
6, 106.
Stop, not Goycochea, is it?
Incorrect.
Stop, Javi Martinez.
Incorrect.
He went to Bayern, didn't he?
Stop.
Yeah, but I think it's a bit of a red herring.
I think his first name is José Echeverría.
Incorrect.
Oh. Good one.
Yeah,
though.
Nice.
He hasn't won the World Cup.
Yeah, maybe he was in the squad or something. Yeah. I don't know.
I am a 3-time Champions League winner.
Oh, my goodness me.
In each one, I've defeated English opposition.
This is a great clue.
Stop. Sergio Ramos.
Incorrect.
So he's won the World Cup. He's won 3 championships.
Stop. Carlos Puyol.
Correct, Marcus.
Yeah. Get in there.
Well done, Marcus.
Get in there.
Told you it's not a Bilbao player. Yeah. But you're right. It was a one club thing. Those clues are difficult.
That was getting hard. That was a good one.
Excellent.
Louis van Gaal once asked me, "What's the problem? Can't you afford the money for a haircut?"
Ever the tactful.
Hang
on. Carlos Puyol got smacked in the face with a dildo and we missed it.
I know.
Louis van Gaal putting the tact in tactician there.
So that's been Going for Glory this season. Thank you very much, everyone.
Lord. Last one, the winner.
Yeah. Yeah. Winner stays on.
Trophies. Yeah. Trophies.
Good stuff. I'm in danger of being relegated here.
I think you have.
Yeah. I should be the asker of the questions next season.
Don't take that away from Peter.
I like that. The asker of the questions. Mm.
Well, thank you ever so much, ladies and gentlemen, for listening to the Football Ramble preview show sponsored by Bet365. We will be back on Monday, of course, to talk about the Champions League final and the playoff final, or the playoff finals.
We're back on Monday, then we're back the following Monday, and then you check our social media for our World Cup schedule, which starts on the 13th of June. I think we're doing 25 shows throughout the World Cup.
So plentiful.
To reiterate, back on Monday, no preview show next week, but back again the following Monday, which is the 4th of June. And then after that, we're back on the 13th for the World Cup. And we're doing 25 shows throughout that tournament.
Lots of World Cup ramblings.
Jeez Louise.
If you want further information, go to our social media, which is at Football Ramble on Twitter and at The Football Ramble on Instagram.
Lovely old job. Say goodbye, Luke.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Jimmy.
Good night.
Say goodbye, Petey.
Good luck to all the football teams playing this weekend.
Bye from me.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.